It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kay Darcher Kent. Yesterday was Veterans Day, and for veterans, the transition back to civilian life can be challenging. Support is available through different veterans associations, nonprofits, and other veteran-focused organizations. In the Eau Claire area, Wisconsin veterans have the opportunity to seek out a specialized form of therapy, working with horses. John Serafin is a Wisconsin veteran who retired from the Army after 29 years of service. He graduated from the Veterans Equine Program at Trinity Equestrian Center in Eau Claire, where he is now a board member. And Tony Mattson is co-founder, owner, and program director at Trinity Equestrian Center. She was John's equine specialist when he took part in the program. They talked with Rob Ferret yesterday.
I want to start with the basics on the Trinity Equestrian Center. In general, what kind of services are you offering to veterans and others?
We, for 22 years now, we have been working with veterans and youth and families and survivors of trauma. And connections, relationship, and trust is what we have found has been really, really our strong suit. And we work with youth development and counseling. We partner with our amazing horses. And we just, John can speak to that, but we meet people right where they're at.
Before we bring John into the conversation, Tony, I've heard this from other people. There's something almost magical, it seems like, about working with horses. And I think it's one of those if you know, you know kind of things. But tell us, what is it about horses that makes it such a potentially therapeutic experience?
Well, it's my opinion that it has to do with their heart. One of their biggest motivations as a creature is to connect. And they will do nearly anything to do that. And they can spot someone who is struggling emotionally a mile away. They can read us like a book, whether we like that or not. But for us as a therapy team, that's one of our greatest tools and why we choose them as our partners. But it's also to do with their size. They are imposing animals, even our little guys. We have horses that are as small as a large Great Dane, all the way up to, 1,800-pound animals. And it doesn't matter their size. Their heart is the same. Their first goal really is to connect with humans. And that's what is so irresistible to those who have struggled, particularly, trauma survivors and really, really particularly with veterans, because veterans come back and they struggle with trust. That's one of their big things. And they don't trust the humans. But in short order, because of the heart of the horse and they're seeking that connection, they trust the horse far faster than they do the human team. And there's just no fooling a horse. They cut to the chase. They see right through you. And that is a marvelous tool for us because we humans can't do that. But part of the job, I'm one of our equine specialists. I'm dual certified. And my job was always reading the horse and relaying what I'm seeing to my teammate who is a Wisconsin licensed therapist. Sometimes people think that our equine therapy is actually a mounted form, and that kind of is a standoff sort of feel to them. We don't ride. It's all on the ground. It is, like I love saying, it's nose to nose and shoulder to shoulder. That's where the relationship is born and grown, and it grows into this most amazing relationship and connection. And that's, like I say, that's where all the healing starts.
John, you are one of the veterans who's been through this program as we mark Veterans Day. Thanks to you and any veterans listening right now for your service. Can you tell us a little bit about your time in the military and leading up to your retirement?
Oh, sure. I joined in 1982. I was wounded. I was in an explosion and a Desert Storm. And right after Desert Storm, of course, back then, we didn't have a name on it. PTSD. We didn't know it was IEDs back then. Nothing like that. So I was involved in an explosion. I was going through my third failed marriage. and so the military. I grew up in the military since the age of 17. That's what I knew. I always had a purpose. my episodes, I guess you could call them, or whatever, my rage, everything started happening probably 92, 93, and I never had an answer for it, where this all was coming from. And I'm not talking about getting angry. I'm talking about pure straight up rage, just rage. It would build up, and the little things would just build up, and I never had an answer for it. I was always scared. So over the years, you kind of learn the ticking of the bomb. And then for some days, I was too scared to drink. So I would just ride it out. It'd be like three days sometimes with no sleep, just adrenaline rush after adrenaline rush. And then once I got calmed down, because I was too afraid to drink, sometimes it was all you could do just to hang on. And you never wanted to hurt nobody. It was in my head, I don't want to hurt nobody. So you push everybody away. And everybody on the outside looking in thinks you're a freaking fanatic. You know, just thinks you're crazy, you know. And then I was getting closer and closer to retiring. I got diagnosed in 2008. I was out in Oklahoma. I received a letter from the Army saying, hey, you might have PTSD. So I went to a psychiatrist they set me up with on a Friday afternoon. I went in there and she asked me all these questions. Early childhood, the accident, I mean, the incident and everything that happened. Then it was about an hour, hour and a half. And she said, have a nice day. And I went home and I bounced off the walls all weekend. It was crazy, but I finally had a name. It was called PTSD. So I was diagnosed with PTSD. So I had a name. So then I started doing a lot of research. So I retired in 2011. All of a sudden, everything that I had, my identity, my purpose, and everything was gone. So, and then I retired here in January, so that's not a good thing to do because it was really cold and I was stationed in Oklahoma. So depression hit, a lot more drinking, of course, because I didn't think nothing of it. And then I was on my third marriage, my failed marriage, and then I got hooked up with Trinity. And I had tried regular counseling, and I always try to find the good, because there's always something good, always. I contemplated suicide one time, ended up, spent a week up in a mental ward. Never want to do that again. But you just get so tired. And I'm not talking tired like I work so hard tired, just tired of the fight every single day. And every minute of the day, sometimes you're fighting for minutes. A good day, you'd fight for hours, you know. You just get so tired of it, and you just want it over with. And so when I finally got in Trinity, I didn't trust nobody. No, I got burned by a lot of people throughout the years. So I didn't trust nobody, didn't expect nothing from nobody. Even though on the outside looking good, you know, I could talk to people. But inside, yeah, I was just a hermit. And then it took me a while. I did trust the horse first. I'd never been around horses before. I trusted the horse first because, first of all, it didn't want nothing from me. It wasn't going to use me. It wasn't going to throw me on a bus. It was just there, like I was just there. So that was one common thing we had. And then I couldn't intimidate it. So I couldn't push it around if I didn't want to talk. I couldn't push it around. I couldn't scare it away. I couldn't push it away. So then I had to confront my fears, you know, with this horse. And horse never judged me. Didn't call me names. So the bond with the horse started first. And then it took a while. I would probably say a good 6 months, 8 months before I started even trusting Sylvia. Sylvia was my human counselor, I guess you call him. And then Tony was my equine therapist. And that was my team that saved my life. So then I started trusting them.
Wow.
Then the work began, you know.
Then the work began. John, let's pick it up there. You've met horses kind of for the first time. You've learned to trust them. You're learning to trust the people with them. Now, what does that work like once you'd established that as your baseline?
As a baseline, well, you go in and it's I never knew what we were going to do, which was okay. You know, we go in the arena and they would talk and they would think of just different exercises, you know, Like, for instance, one exercise, they told me to draw my world as a circle, and it was pretty freaking small, okay? Real small. And they put a thing of oats, and I guess that's like candy to a horse. And so sometimes I would have one horse, sometimes I would have two horses, you know? And that day I had two, and they said, keep them out of your world. And I tried to push, try to push them away, stand in front of them. They'd come in behind me, and I was getting freaking upset. I mean, bad. And so it went on for a few minutes, you know, and then they halted it, and they wanted to make sure that I understood. They said, you can use anything in this arena, any tool you want in this arena to keep them out. So I was just looking around, and I see one of these pool noodles. So I grabbed one, and all I had to do was hold that out in front of me, and the horses wouldn't go by it. They wouldn't go through it. And so I could just stand there and do a circle, and they would stay on the side of my world. And that was the beginning of, yes, use the tools that you have around you. Use the tools that they give you. You don't have to do, you can't do it all by brute force. You can't do it all by blowing everything up.
We're talking about veterans' mental health with John Serafin, retired Army veteran of 29 years, and his former equine specialist, Tony Mattson, owner and program director at Trinity Equestrian Center in Eau Claire. Tony, we just heard John's amazing experience there. A slow path, but an amazing path. How many people, how common is it to watch that transition from barely being able to trust that horse to start trying to learn those lessons from it?
It's always different for every single veteran, always different. And that's something that we just came to realize and know. But once they have that little nugget, that moment, like John described so beautifully, we recognize that instantly because we're watching for that every moment. And when that happens, we know that's the beginning of progress. And so we shift into a whole nother gear when we see that. We can't push to begin with. We have to let it happen absolutely organically between the veteran and the horse. I can't even explain to you the feeling and just the euphoria that comes over us because we know that's the beginning of this amazing transformation that we just started, this journey. And it's not linear. It's never linear. John will tell you how many times that, you know, it's two steps forward, three back, then two to the left, three to the right. But like John said, that's when the work starts. That's when you have to just say, okay, I'm in this. I don't want to take my life. I want to fight through this. And we do our best to give them every tool that they're going to need in order to be successful. And it is, it's the best work I've ever done in my life.
John, something else that amazes me about your story is not only did you go through this program, you made the decision that you want to help other people through it. Now you're a board member at Trinity Equestrian Center. What made you want to take that next step to where you were helping not just yourself, but other people coming through the same situation?
Well, like I said, I grew up in the Army. And so back in the old days, that's how you were taught to look behind you and to pull them forward. You know, watch out for everybody. And so when I went through the program, I could never repay Trinity, Tony, or Sylvia for what they've given me, giving me back my life. I still have bad days. It ain't over. But I have a lot more good days than bad days now. And so I've tried in different aspects to give back to Trinity. I was a liaison for Trinity, a position we were trying to lay out. And like I'd go in to different places and talk and stuff like that, and I still will. But I was in one time, I was in with a veteran, and I would almost decipher the language because we have our own language in the military, a lot of acronyms. But things that how we talk to each other, I can go in any military base and talk. I always felt at home on any military base. So I would try to bridge that gap between the civilians and the military on the language. And this individual was involved in an explosion, and I was, And just when I think, oh, I got a handle on this, I'm driving a bus and all that. Well, I went home and I woke up that night and I was in a cold sweat and I had nightmares. When you have nightmares like that and you're sober, sometimes I'm just afraid to go back to sleep. And so I just stay up. Well, that told me right there. And I talked to Tony and I said, well, I can't do this. You know, I'm not ready for this. And so we just left it alone. But I've always wanted to get back. And so this last spring, they approached me and asked me if I'd be a board member. And I've never been so honored. And so now I look at it like, okay, I'm not hands-on with the veterans itself, but I can still help. I can still go out there and help guide the programs and talk and whatever I can do.
John, something I'm so thankful for is as dark as things have been for you, it sounds like you kept being willing to seek help. And when one kind didn't work, you tried another, and eventually you found the equine therapy. Can you talk directly maybe to somebody who's listening who's where you were but maybe not ready to seek help? What would you say to them?
Just keep fighting every single day. Don't give up. Equine therapy is not for everybody. I wish it was. And I had it take me a little bit to get that because it worked for me. So I think, it could work for everybody. But it's not for everybody. So just keep finding something. Something is out there to help. Just keep fighting the fight and know that there's other programs out there. There's other people out there reaching behind us to get you back across the wire.
And Tony, for people listening who think, hey, I'm in a position as a veteran maybe who could benefit from this, maybe equine therapy is right for me, how do they get involved in this?
They can certainly go to our website, trinity-ec.com, and there's contact info there. You can just email us and say, hey, but I do love what John just said is that, equine therapy is not for everybody, but there is something out there that can help. My big thing is find your fit and grab onto it with both hands. Don't let it go until you are on a smooth, straight path, whether it's gardening or art or canine therapy, or I don't care what it is, anything that resonates with you that gives you that inspiration to, like John says, fight, keep fighting. That's what they need to go after. But if they're in our area, absolutely come our way. And honestly, if they're listening to this and they're, too far to drive, get a hold of me. I've got an entire resource across the country of equine therapy places that work with veterans. And I can't even think of one that charges. We don't charge. We never will charge for any of our veteran program work. And it serves the veteran as well as the family. I also have an entire resource I put together, not equine therapy, lots of other things. So like I say, my big thing is let's help you find your fit.
And we'll leave it there. Tony, thanks for the work you're doing, and thanks for sharing it with us.
Absolutely, our pleasure. And thank you to all the veterans out there, not just today, but always, all days.
And John, thank you so much for sharing your story, and we're all pulling for you over here.
Thank you, sir, and thank you for having an interest in this.
John Serafin is a retired Army veteran of 29 years from Wisconsin who experienced benefits through equine therapy. Tony Mattson is co-founder, owner, and program director at Trinity Equestrian Center in Eau Claire. They talked with Rob Ferret yesterday.